Hello, everybody. I'm Matt Seidel, along with Derek Seidel and Josh Trope, and this is Coach Speak. Welcome, everyone. We are back. The crew is back. Rumors of our retirement from podcasting have been greatly exaggerated. 4 months have gone by since we assembled, but we're back again. We found Josh Trope. He's been missing. No, just kidding. It's great to be back. We weren't sure by popular demand. We've had a lot of pressure within and outside to do this again, and we found some time after some busy summers. But it's cool to be back. A lot has happened since our last podcast in early April, especially with you two. So let's catch you up real quick before we get into a couple of our topics today. Derek, you've got some big news in your life. How you been, man?
I've been doing well. Enjoyed a nice summer. I guess, yeah, the big news, it feels like old news now, but I got engaged to my, I guess, longtime girlfriend, Dana. So that's exciting. We got a date set for the wedding next summer. You know, being a teacher and a coach, there's only one time to get married, late July, early August. So we got that on the calendar. I the fall was never an option. The people who do fall weddings are insane. I'll say that forever. It's sacrilegious to do that. But yeah, other than that, been a really good summer. I enjoyed getting to work with the new group heading into this next year for at Napoleon and getting ready for that and relaxing. And now I'm actually kind of ready for school to get going and for everything to get back to normal. I know that's crazy to say, but I feel like I've just been sitting around the house doing nothing for too long. So I'm ready to get back to some structure in my life. I need that.
Well, Derek, you had me until you said you're ready for school to start back up. And then I realized that more than a marriage, you need to have kids, because then you would not be ready for school to get back. You'd have more than enough to do. So by the way, your dad used to always tell me this, and it was obviously very true, and it still is. And I want to say it now that you're engaged. He used to say, Tropes, you've really outkicked your coverage. Well, Derek, you've really outkicked your coverage. So just treat Dana well. You've overachieved, my friend.
And if anyone knows about outkicking their coverage, Josh, that would be you. So, and speaking of you, your resume has taken another turn, another twist. You care to give us the short version on what's going on with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the short version is I'm retired. That's the new thing on the resume. No, my head coaching days are over though, for sure. So I have transitioned into kind of an old man's mentor role. My family made a decision. We wanted kind of a change of life, change of scenery and some different things. And we made a choice to move our family to Jackson, and have decided to send our kids to Catholic school, and we're really excited about it. Our boys will attend Lumen Christi school this fall. Luke will be in the high school in 10th grade and Zach in the 8th grade. It's been a crazy summer. Anytime you move and things like that, a lot of different things going on. And, you know, I got one teenager with a driver's permit, and I feel like I can't wait for him to get a license, because I'm a chauffeur this summer. But I'll tell you what, it's been an incredible summer. I played more golf than I ever have. And I've been to a lot of college practices, and I've been really lucky to just kind of go right back over to Spring Arbor and hang out with a lot of close friends over there. And then I'm helping Tyler Aldridge out at Lumen Christi, and just kind of a mentor role. He's a really good young upcoming coach, and he's going to let the old guys sit on the bench, maybe keep stats, things like that. You know, maybe they'll give me a walker by the end of the year or something like that.
Funny, I happened to watch Lumen Christi a couple times this summer, and it looked like a little more than just a mentor role with the Titans. And I have a lot of respect for Tyler and his program. It's good to see them. They had a really good summer when I watched them. But there's a lot of Josh Trope in that system. That offense and defense, they look a little different. Are you getting a little input there? Are they letting you share some ideas, or are they keeping you kind of in a bottle?
No, I think it's been a great transition. I get to, like I said, I mean, they ask questions of stuff they want, and And I would like to think I know what I'm talking about most of the time. So, but yeah, no, it's been great. It's just been a great marriage over there. And like I said, it's given me a ton of time to spend with Coach Cottingham and Coach Beckman over at Spring Harbor as well. And a lot of time on the golf course. So it's been a great summer.
Good deal. Good deal.
I want to say, I like to place my bet now that he does act as a head coach again. He said he's done with his head coaching. I will put the money down right now that he does someday head coach again. I don't throw that out there. He will be a head coach again someday. I just want to.
I was going to call BS on that too. I don't know if you can say BS on this PG rated podcast, but I was going to call that as well, but that'll be a soundbite that we can pull and maybe use at some point, probably sooner than later. But that's good to hear. The golf thing is, you know, Derek and I, 2/3 of this podcast, we don't really appreciate the game of golf like you do. I know you spend a lot of time. I'm kind of more into a, I'm more into a tennis guy. My lateral quickness is not there anymore, but the backhand, the forehand are sharp right now. The young Trope, I've challenged him multiple times. He's yet to respond to my challenge. So I have no respect for anything that he does on the tennis court until he takes on the old man. But that's for another day. Now, speaking of coaching changes, since we'll transition from Josh's latest coaching change to a bunch of, this is typical. I mean, this time of year, it's one of the main topics, regardless of what area you're in, but just our normal area, we're kind of moving our center to Jackson more, since you two are kind of living in that area. Derek lives in Brooklyn, and I crossed Jackson on my way to Olivet, but it's a ton of coaching changes. Obviously there's been an upgrade at Chelsea with Andrea Cabana taking over that. Let's start with that. Andrea, obviously a state championship coach at Grass Lake with the Grass Lake girls, but we have, she has jumped from the girls circuit to the boys circuit, taking over for Josh Trope at Chelsea in a, you know, that's an eye-opening move. And Andrea, if anybody can do it, it's Andrea Cabana. I think we all have respect for her, but it's still, it's not the same game. Girls basketball and boys basketball, I'm sorry, it's just not the same game. And so I think a lot of eyes are going to be on this. She's got a loaded roster. Josh, he didn't leave the cupboard bare, that's for sure. But what are your thoughts? What are you hearing about how things went with her this summer? I haven't talked to her. I don't know her that well. Just some communication here and there. But it's kind of that's a big story this summer.
Well, I know they had a great summer, ton of success. I know for a fact, and I heard it, you know, the kids are definitely loving the freedom that they have, because they have a lot more now than the old coach was a little maybe tougher on them, I think. But they love the freedom they've had on the offensive end, that's for sure. So I'm sure there's a lot of kids happy Coach Trope moved to Jackson when it comes to that. But they had a lot of success this summer. And I think from what I heard, you know, they kept things pretty, you know, they're still running the same type of stuff. I'm sure she'll put more of her imprint on the program as they get into the fall, when she can practice and things like that. As we all know, you practice a handful of times in the summer. No, but I heard nothing but really good things. And I know the record, they had a great record this summer. They had a lot of success. And as you said, they have some really good players. I mean, Matt Bland's probably got 10 NAI D3 offers by now. Jake Cabana has picked up a division, or sorry, Jake Stevens has picked up a Division II offer. Joey Cabana's picked up a Division I offer and a handful of Division II offers. And they got some really other nice pieces around them as well.
Yeah, no doubt. It's definitely a move that is just like, it's so interesting to watch. I mean, there's just so many dynamics going on there. Like you mentioned, Matt, like, you know, obviously the just having a female coaching the male side, you very rarely see that in the boys game. I don't know of anybody other than a few JV coaches that I know of, but I don't know of any head coaches that I can even name that have done it. Like you said, I think Andrea is the perfect candidate for it. I mean, she just has had an absolute, dominant program going at Grass Lake that I'm sure will actually continue to do that because of all the work she put in there. And so she's earned the right to make that jump. And like you said, it'll be interesting to see how that goes, just switching from the girls game to the boys game, having a female coach on the boys side, but then also her having her coaching her son. It's always a high interest location. Chelsea's always a high interest, at least if you're following the basketball community, in my opinion. Like, there's always something interesting going on there, you know, something to follow. And I think there's no difference here. And I agree that they're going to be really, really good. I think that they, you know, you can expect them to be exciting, put up a lot of points, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of noise they can make. Not only if they can keep the conference title streak going, maybe actually get one outright, and then
get an outright title at Chelsea. My God,
and then see where they can go in the postseason.
They might guard somebody now too. I that's what I'm looking for. Maybe a little upgrade on the defensive end as well. But so she leaves. Andrea leaves Grass Lake, and she also did not leave the cover bare, because the cover just is not ever going to be bare at Grass Lake. And a woman named April Salt, who I have not met, had not had the pleasure. I believe she's a sub varsity coach in the program. She's going to take over for Andrea at Grass Lake. Her daughter Bree is a player in the program. Thoughts on April? Any word? I mean, is she just coming in like a kind of a total unknown, or does anybody have any information on her? What do we know about her?
I know she was with the program for a while. I know she's coached Premier. And I know she has a daughter in the program. I don't know anything else about her besides that. But I will tell you this. I worked at Spring Arbor camp this summer, and the seventh grade class going to be eighth grade class at Grass Lake would beat half the varsity teams in the state right now. So I'm going to tell you, that is the job that everybody should apply for. No, I mean, I think it was a done deal that April was going to get it, but my goodness, are they loaded. That, I mean, Andrea definitely didn't leave the cover bare there either. I think they have a little bit of a rebuild the next year or two. I don't want to say rebuild. They'll still be really good, but not like as state power, but they have so much talent coming right now. And it was apparent just at the Spring Arbor camp. But yeah, no, April's walking into a good situation. And, you know, you guys touched on this, but it'll be interesting. Both of these coaching changes involve two parents taking over their kids' program. That will be the thing to watch, right? How do these two moms handle coaching their son and daughter? That'll be an interesting thing.
No doubt. I heard the same kind of thing. I know when I heard Andrea was moving to Chelsea, the first thing I was thinking is like, man, that's going to be a hot job. Like everybody's going to want that Grass Lake girls job. And then I remember hearing this actually from Alex Darnell, one of our former players that dates Lexi Bargesser from over there. And he said, oh yeah, no, it's going to be.
How many times we got to reference that? I mean, they're love life.
Well, I'm just,
when they get married, are we going to have them on the podcast? I mean, their love life on this podcast is unbelievable.
Goodness. I'm just letting you know how I heard that, but I was like, oh, okay. So he knew ahead of time. He's the one who broke the news to me that, oh yeah, it's just going to be, it was kind of something that was set for a while. Like they always, whenever Andrea left, it was going to be, April Salts, and you know, I think she's obviously got a good setup. The goal there is just got to be to keep things rolling. I can second what Josh says in terms of their youth program, the middle school program. I know the kids at Napoleon, just it's like it's hopeless when they have to play them. And it's not just one grade; it's every single grade coming up. It's always just you know, just the talent they have is unreal. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly they can, you know, be putting up regional titles and stuff like that again.
One more change on the girls' side before we jump back to the boys, but Lumen Christie, actually, speaking of Lumen Christie, Josh, has a new girls' coach. Somebody I think you're familiar with, Jason O'Neill, whose son has been a good player at Lumen Christie the last few years. But he is jumping from the Lumen Christie boys program, not the varsity coach. I think was he the JV coach?
He was the JV coach, yeah.
And now he's going to take over the Lumen Christie girls. What can we look for from Jason?
Well, he takes over for Terrence Willis, who moved over to Spring Arbor to be the assistant there, and I think the recruiting coordinator over at Spring Arbor. And I think Jason, you'll see a lot of man-to-man defense. You'll see some up-tempo stuff on offense. He really likes the similar offense that the three of us like, the Nova dribble drive. You're going to see that out of the girls as well. I think Jason is a great fit for the girls program, great demeanor. He's in a unique situation. His son just graduated. He's going to play at Olivet. Colin will be a freshman at Olivet next year. And then he has a daughter that's an incoming freshman, but she does not play basketball. But yet that's one of the things he really liked, is because he knows a lot of the girls because of his daughter. She's a gymnast. And she actually just won a huge pageant this past week as well. So shout out to the O'Neill family. Jason would be a great fit, you know, and he'll do a really good job. And he's already put together a really good staff.
Cool. Jackson County jumping back there, back to the boys' side. East Jackson has a new coach, somebody that both of you, I know, are really familiar with. Derek, I know you actually had the pleasure of trying to actually play against this guy in a basketball game or two. Paul Marindat, the Spring Arbor All-American, helped Spring Arbor win a national championship not too long ago, is the new head coach at East Jackson High School. Thoughts on Paul taking over and what kind of impact he's going to have there?
Yeah, it's funny. When Paul got the job, I sent him a text saying, hey, you know, looking forward to competing against you again. I'm excited to actually have a chance, a fighting chance this time. Because that was not the case on the court back in the day. As much as I wanted to trick myself into having a chance, but no, I think that that's a great hire for East Jackson. I think Paul's going to really bring an atmosphere, kind of an identity to that program that can really maybe help them take the next step. I really feel that there's some talent over there at East Jackson, and like they showed a ton of progress during the year last year. By the end of the year, they really were playing a lot of people tough. I know they kind of gave us a little bit of a scare in the district during the first half. We were down for much of the first half against them. We were kind of panicking there. They were much improved as the year went on. And I think they have some guys back. I'm very curious to see how Paul implements a system over there. Does he go with the Trope system, since I know he's been over at Chelsea, or does he have something new? So it'll be interesting to see, but I think it's a good hire and it's a good spot for Paul.
Obviously, I think it's a great hire. I mean, Paul's a great young coach, just like you were, Derek, and are, but you have more experience than he does right now. But very similar type thing where, you know, when you started that 1 year working with me, I mean, I knew right away, I'm like, this is a varsity coach already. I mean, I'm lucky to have you when I had you. It was the same way with Paul. I was really lucky to have Paul for 2 years. He made my life better. He made our program better. He made all the kids' lives better. He'll do the same thing in East Jackson. Paul's a winner. Knows how to motivate kids. Kids love playing for them. They play hard for them. And I think East Jackson, there's talent there. I think it's almost like kind of I don't want to say sleeping giant. I don't necessarily think East Jackson will be a giant, but I think it could be really good. And I think that it's going to take somebody like Paul, young, dynamic personality. And as much as I know you like Paul, Derek, you can't be thrilled that he's in the league at that job, because that becomes a tougher game twice a year now for you and also in districts. So I think you'll get it rolling. I really do. And he's definitely going to work as hard as anybody else. I love it. And maybe just one more program that's running all our stuff. And, you know, I do love that. I mean, I know I laugh when I go places in the summer. You're both there and then Paul's there and like, wow, like everybody's running the same stuff except for sets. I mean, it's a lot of fun. So
Jackson Western has a new coach as well. So, I mean, and again, that's a big job, and it's a good group coming back. Jordan Tingle takes over at Western. I do not know much about Jordan. I know that we played him this summer and they beat us. I do know that. He seemed to do a solid job. I think he knows what he's doing, and he's got a really interesting team with a bunch of guys that all look the same and have similar skill sets. They're going to be a handful in the I-8 this year. Anybody got any insight on Jordan and kind of like his history and where he came from?
So Jordan's a 2011 Western grad and former basketball and tennis guy, and he's actually currently the varsity tennis coach right now as well. He's done an incredible job building the tennis program. I do think this, I thought I read that this might be his last year as the tennis coach. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I thought I read that this fall. And then, you know, it's his second year at the basketball program. I think he was 19-1 as the JV coach, or 18-2 last year. Did a great job with those kids you're talking about, Matt. Most of those kids that you played this summer were kids off that JV. They have an incredibly talented junior class. They got a really good sophomore in Maverick Hammond. And then they got some really tough seniors, and the Johnston kid is a really good player. And they got some other really nice pieces over there. So no, I would think Western would be one of the favorites to win the I-8 this year. I think Jordan, again, another one of these coaches that's walked into a really good situation. I mean, and I think he'll do a good job with it. I think the kids really like his demeanor, his personality, and I heard he's, you know, a great math teacher as well. So for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a great job. And like you said, that they have a ton of talent over there. It's kind of like you know, in the Jackson area, I'm obviously new to over here, but it almost feels like they're kind of that premier school over here. Like, you know, and I think that kind of plays, and they get a lot of kids that transfer in and things like that. You know, so I think that they have an opportunity to always be a factor, especially in the I-8 there. And yeah, I expect him to kind of really make some noise here in year one with the group he's got.
Yeah, they're set up really well for a 2-year run. There's no question about it.
Perhaps, I mean, we'd be remiss not to mention the Ann Arbor Huron job is open. I don't know if you guys have polished off your resumes and if you're applying. I think there are going to be a lot of people. I mean, it's got to be one of the best jobs talent-wise in this area, if not the state. I mean, they just got talent coming. It's been coming. Waleed Samaha, of course, has resigned for the second time at Huron. And this time, too, we found out later he's going to coach at a post-grad prep school starting in 2023. Wally, I appreciate it. I called you on my way home for work today. I called him. I wanted to see if he's reached the big time where he won't pick up my call or if he'd actually pick it up. And it went to voicemail after 4 rings. I want you to know he did not pick it up. He has not called back. It didn't go to voicemail after 2 rings, which Josh tends to do sometimes, which means he hits the decline button intentionally and sends me to voicemail. Well, he'd at least let it ring out. But I'm expecting a call back from him. I just wanted to kind of pick his brain about his new job. But I'm sure he's busy doing press conferences. But what are you hearing about the Huron job? Because that's a big one. And I know his assistant, Mo Kasham, I don't even know how to pronounce Mo's last name. I know his name. I think a lot of people just thought the job was going to end up in his lap. John Lamar Hamilton, I think I keep hearing maybe he's a candidate for this, and I'm sure there's some others. Are you guys hearing anything? And what are your thoughts on that position?
Like you said, it's obviously a great job. I mean, you think about Waleed had it for a while, and then when he left, it was Jay Shunar took over, right? And then Jay leaves. Well, Waleed left to go to Michigan,
right.
U of M. And then Jay Shunar leaves to go to U of M.
Cavaliers, I think, wasn't it? Or he went to U of M first. Yeah.
You're right. No, you're right. He'd already been at U of M, so he had the relationship a little bit there or whatever. I don't know the full path, but yeah, he's working in the NBA, working in, you know, high level D1. And then, you know, now you got Waleed's back and then leaving to go. So let's just say that people who coach there tend to get some big jobs leaving there. How about that? But I haven't heard much, but you know, I like you were saying, I expect it to be kind of an internal guy. I know they always were, we made fun or joked a little bit about, they always have a massive staff. So they got a lot of internal options there, but I expect him to kind of just be able to keep it rolling over there at Huron.
We're in August in Manchester. Manchester doesn't have a coach either, which is kind of weird because I think Manchester's coach resigned, you know, shortly after the season or before the summer. And for a school not to have a basketball coach who resigned, you know, in the spring, just shows me that it's just not a priority there. But I think a guy named Jack Ignash, who I used to be he was a teacher at Olivet. I got to know him a little bit. I think he's a teacher at Manchester now and was the JV coach. And I think he coached in the summer, but he has not been named head coach. And I don't know if they haven't named one yet, but it's just a weird thing. And I hate to criticize him, but Manchester, they're not getting out of their own way on this one. Like, they should have a coach in place right now. They've had plenty of time. Huron is a little different. Waleed kind of slow played this thing and didn't resign until after the summer, maybe giving Mo a chance to kind of establish himself as the head coach there. Who knows? But Manchester should have a coach right now. But the other two, I just want to mention before we jump, we had Jake Bullock at Lansing Catholic. Jake is takes over for Brian Dart, who got kind of let go in kind of a shocking deal back in the spring. Everybody was kind of blindsided by that. Jake is a former Lansing Catholic player and a college assistant. The reason I bring it up is Jake Bullock at Lansing Catholic and Koji Varun at Williamston. Koji is a former, he played at a small school in the Ann Arbor area, and then he coached a little bit at Dexter. I maybe even had a stint at Chelsea. He did the college thing. He was a GA at Eastern. He was he did some stuff at Kalamazoo College. He's at Wisconsin Oshkosh right now. But both Williamson, the defending state champion in Division II, and Lansing Catholic kind of went in their interview process, passed up some guys with some really impressive resumes, some veteran coaches, and went the same route with kind of untested yet really impressive guys coming out of the college ranks as assistants. I think that's interesting. And in both of them, they're big rivals and they did it together kind of in the same timetable. It's going to be really interesting to see how that works, because there's some names that interviewed for those jobs that didn't get the job. And so I give Williamson and Lansing Catholic credit for having a vision and kind of going that way. But you don't see that all the time. Like the Andrea Cabana thing is outside the box. Well, this is definitely outside the box as well. So any thoughts? We're going to have Koji on very soon as a guest, since we all kind of know him a little bit. But any thoughts on those two hires?
I kind of like the path. I mean, I think it's cool to see them kind of go that route. I mean, young guys that I think will bring a good atmosphere to the program, a good vibe to the program. I mean, they both know basketball. They coached at a high level, and like you said, knowing Koji a little bit. And Jake, by the way, that's another guy that I couldn't guard back in the day. He put up 30 on us a few times at Aquinas. That dude could play, man. Goodness gracious. Sorry, not to get off topic there, but both of them, having coached at a high level and being in that atmosphere, I'm sure they're going to bring a level of interest and just some things that, your average high school coach maybe hasn't experienced or can't bring to that. So I think that's really exciting. And like you said, them being rivals makes it that much more interesting. It's you always got to wonder the organizational side of things. You know, with a high school program, obviously things are different than a college program. I'm not saying that those two can't do it. I'm sure they both will be fine in that, but it's always something that you got to wonder when you get you're running your own program for the first time. And, those are two bigger programs, I guess. Like, I'm sure there's expectations of things that need to be done there that, like I said, I don't have any worries about those two being able to do that, but they don't necessarily have the experience of maybe some of the other candidates. But I think that both those programs will be in a good spot moving forward.
You know, we all like to joke on here, and Matt and I especially at times can be very sarcastic, obviously, and we like to take our shots every once in a while. But this is a very genuine thing I'm about to say, and I truly mean this. I think this is a great sign that things are changing for the better in high school basketball. And what I mean by that is the Kojis, the Jake Bullocks, the Paul Marindettes, the Derek Seidels, these young former NAI, small college players are coming back. They're leaving that college dream. They're not chasing it. They're coming back to pour into kids, young men, to be mentors, to be role models. They have an incredible passion of the game. They played it at a high level. They know what it takes to be a great teammate. They know what it takes to be a great student, and all of those things. And I think it's great for our game of basketball in the state of Michigan. I remember maybe 5 or 10 years ago, I was really worried, Matt, and you and I were talking like, what's going to happen? Like, what happens when all of us old guys go? Because I feel like there's so many of us, and you're starting to see it. Like, we joke, but Wally transitioning out, it's probably the right time. He's got a son going to Michigan. He's one of the best kickers in the country. It's a great chance for maybe a young John Lamar Hamilton to come in and fill a role there, or maybe Abe. I don't know Abe as well, but again, I know he's a young dynamic coach the players like. I know we joke about it, but like I'm thrilled to be in the role that I'm at to help a young coach like Tyler Aldridge, begin someone that the players really love. And I mean, I'm guessing, Matt, you probably don't have 10 years left. You're on, the backside of your career as well. And I don't think it'll be that long until we see Rex at Gaber-Shar do the same thing. And I love that we have so many positive young men that are basketball junkies coming into the game. And hopefully they'll keep all those old guys around, because we still know a few things. So
you almost said everything. You almost said everything. I was going to go with that. So, yeah, I'm really excited for both of them. I think, like I said, we're going to have Koji on our next podcast, and looking forward to that. And it'll be an interesting interview, and we'll take some shots at Koji too. Why not? Right. Let's introduce him to the podcast life. But our other topic tonight, we're going to jump real quick. And that was fun talking about the coaches. And I think those are the changes. There might be a couple more changes that we just don't know about, but those are the ones that we've heard about. The other big topic really is the conference realignment and the snowball effect that some things have taken. And I think the biggest one, let's just start with the one that kind of is really impacting three or more conferences. And that is the expansion of the Cascades Conference. The once eight team beautifully fit logistics, and you know, they're very close together. These eight schools in the Cascades, they're expanding to 12, and they did it quickly. And it started with Lesley and Columbia Central have agreed to join the Cascades for the 23-24 school year. And then that was followed, and Lesley, of course, from the GLAC, and Columbia Central from the Conference to the South, which always escapes me. I don't even know what league that, what they call themselves over there. I know their team, the school, very well. Probably should look that up before I got on the podcast. Jonesville and Homer are the other two now that are coming into the Cascades, and they are both from the Big Eight. But with you know, so you got, that's great. Those four schools, Lesley, Columbia Central, Jonesville, Homer, all joining the already solid 18 Cascades. They're going to have a 12-team league. They'll probably go to 2 6-team divisions. Whether that and what that looks like probably remains to be seen. But the ripple effect is that the GLAC all of a sudden now is going to lose Lesley and is just really hanging on by a string. And the Big Eight goes from 8 to 6. And they're scrambling to try to get back to 8 or more. So it's that was big news. And there's some other ones too, but those are that was huge. And it kind of started at the end of the school year, and then it just kind of carried through the summer. But that's where we are right now. Derek, that's your conference, man. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was interesting to see the whole thing kind of come together. I mean, I think when it was first kind of brought up, to be honest, I think it was kind of looked like it wasn't going to be the way that things went. Like when it first was brought up, I don't think it was received super well. I think it was kind of like, let's just keep it the way it is. And to be honest, it's funny, just like at the college level, like this really, I think, had a lot to do with football. And it's really, I think it's all stemmed from people being scared of losing teams to 8-man football and then shrinking the conference. Like, so, you know, Vandercook Lake has gone to 8-man football. And again, the schools that go there, they say, you know, I think Vandercook says they're hoping to get back to playing 11-man, but you just haven't seen it yet. All these schools that have gone to 8-man, like, you know, it's kind of one of those, if they get back to 11, awesome, but you're not expecting it. And we've got a lot of schools that in the Cascades that don't have JV teams, or their JV team, they struggle to field JV teams. So you're just like, you're only one really small class or two really small classes from being an 8-man school. And then I think that really got people afraid of, well, how can you field a conference? I think ADs really worry about being able to schedule in the middle of the season if you don't have a conference, which I know, Matt, you kind of feel like that's overblown, or it's not really as big of a deal as people say, but I think that was a big factor in it. I think the other piece of this, and again, I might be saying things I'm not supposed to say, but I'm just gonna let it all rip. But I think it was really kind of like they wanted to be, the Cascades kind of made the decision, or at least from our perspective at Napoleon, I know our AD was big on, he wanted to act first. He didn't want to be in a situation where they had to react and take what was left. I think Tom Johns at Napoleon, from my understanding, again, hopefully I'm not getting him in trouble with anybody, but I think just talking to him, it was kind of like, he felt like change is coming. So we should try to, if it's inevitable, we should at least go get the group of schools that we want. And I think that's kind of what the Cascades did. Again, I maybe I wasn't in these conversations, but that's just sort of the residual that I got from talking to people. And I think, you know, we added four schools that are similar to the schools that we've got. And they're all going to be quality schools in the conference from the second that they get here. I do think it complicates things, you know, having 12 instead of 8 in a lot of sports, and we'll see how all that shakes out. I don't think it's going to be like the SEC, where the SEC is considered one conference, but really it might as well be two conferences because they split it by size. And there's this big difference in the size of the schools in the red and in the white. Since we're all kind of closer in size, the plan, I think, is to kind of have it be more of a cohesive thing. And yes, there's going to be divisions in certain sports and stuff, but I'm really interested to see how that plays out. I mean, we obviously can talk about that later, but it's going to be interesting to see. You'll never know for sure if it was the right move or not. You sometimes worry, like, hey, we had a really nice thing going with the 18 conference that we had, but at the same time, you know, there was starting to be some holes and gaps where teams weren't able to, or schools weren't able to field teams. So they're hoping that kind of goes away. But in terms of, you know, what it causes everywhere else, like you're saying, it's the LCAA. That's what the league that Columbia Central's leaving.
Sorry, LCAA.
Yeah, so they already filled their spot with Adrian Madison, like you mentioned, and I think it's like the Big Eight's the one that's probably gonna, depending on what happens there, it could, if they steal a Glack team, that could kind of put give the last blow to Olivet's Glack over there or whatever. But yeah, it's interesting, and yeah, I think it was the Cascades. Like I said, I think they wanted to not be in a situation where they had to react, so that's why they did that, and here we are.
I heard a lot of teams are leaving the Glack just because they want to go over Matt. That's, I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm just joking, obviously. I can't wait to get Matt Johns on here because I'm curious to see how this really does help. I mean, I understand the 8-man football piece. That's a tough deal, right? And it's hard to get non-league games. So basketball, you play everybody twice in your division, once in the other. Okay, that's 16 games. Gives you six non-league games. That's cool. That's easy enough, right? I'm sure volleyball could do a similar type thing. And I think baseball, that's easy and all those things. But with football, so let's say you have 1 8-man team or 2 even. Well, now you have 11 or 10 teams. So how does that work? I don't know if it really made things better in football. I don't know. I guess, like I said, it'll be interesting to hear what Matt has to say. And it'll also be interesting to see how many of those teams end up going 8-man. But yeah, it's to me, and I know this is a possibility of coming, but I feel like so much of this conference realignment happens or doesn't happen because of football. And I get it, right? Right now it's the only sport that, everybody doesn't make it and your competition matters and all these other things. I get it, but I wish we, and I know this is a possibility, but I wish we'd go to the model they have in Texas where you play your teams in a region for football and then everybody makes the playoffs and it is what it is, or like Indiana, everybody makes the playoffs, but do something like that where these conferences aren't as important for football, or the state might need to start running football so we don't have these type of things. I don't know if that's even an answer, Matt. Do you think that?
I mean, it's one of the things that gets talked about every year. I think it's going to get talked about again this fall. It's still maybe one of the top three proposals that are out there. For them to do that, though, that would be drastic. I don't see it happening. I think they're just going to status quo it, to be honest. But I would not be opposed to that. I mean, football, I know it's a headache to schedule for sure. And it also drives these decisions, and for whatever reason. I think people panic. I saw the KVA, that was the league that Olivet was in when I first got there, and they panicked about, trying to expand and trying to be first. And the league doesn't even, this league that was around for years doesn't even exist anymore because they panicked about just the shuffling. The Big Eight is panicking right now a little bit. They're down to 6. They can live with 6, and there's probably some schools out there. I know Maple Valley from our league. I'm not, it's not a newsbreaker. They are looking at other options of leaving the Glack. They have not had a lot of success in our conference. They're low in enrollment. They have approached the Big Eight, and according to the Maple Valley AD Landon Wilkes, that conversation went pretty well. So the Big 6, or whatever they're going to be called, might become the Big 7. The Glack is on ice. If Maple Leslie leaving, we can still survive. And we keep pursuing a merger with the CMAC. We've been doing that. We've already merged in a few sports. But if Maple Valley leaves and goes to the Big 8, the Glack is probably done. And you're going to see some schools either become independent or have their, be knocking on the door of the, the CAAC or whatever conference. This is the ripple effect. The other one that isn't really related to this, but in the Jackson County area, because it has some Jackson County teams, is the I-8. And, I don't know if this, I haven't read an article about this, but I know enough people that have talked about it. Lumen Christi, I think it's a foregone conclusion, or everybody that I talk to, they're leaving the I-8 after one more year and going to the Catholic League. Is that a rumor? Is there any truth to that, Josh? You're a Lumen Christi guy.
I've heard the same rumor from several people, but I've not seen a confirmation anywhere or anything like that. But I've heard that. I've heard the possibility of going to the Catholic League, because next year they'll be bringing those teams from Toledo into their top division. And I know that the Catholic League is looking to go to 3, I believe, 6 school lower divisions. I don't know for sure, but I've heard that rumor. I want to say since May, I feel like I've heard that rumor, but I haven't heard anything confirmed. You would think at some point you would hear it. And I've heard it from people everywhere. And I mean, I was on a baseball trip this summer with my youngest son, and I was talking to Western and Northwest people, and they're like, yeah, we think we're going to the SEC White because the I-8's, you know, we're not going to have enough teams if Lumen leaves. And so I don't know. I haven't seen anything official, but I've heard, I feel like I've heard that rumor all summer. But boy, the people that make those decisions haven't said that, but I feel like it's out there.
If and when Lumen leaves the I-8, you know, that makes them a little vulnerable as well. That will put them at 7. Now 7 works. So the GLAC has done 7 for 8 years. And yes, there is a bye and in all of our sports, but it's not that hard. There's smart individuals that create these schedules. It's really not that hard to deal with. There is a football game in the middle of your schedule that you have to replace, but the I-8 gets to 7. Here's what's going to happen. And trust me, the SEC, and I love the SEC. That's the conference closest to my heart. It's what I played in. It's what I live in Dexter. So the SEC is still a big deal. The SEC is going to try to poach some teams from the I-8. You know, I'm sure the Western and Northwest are schools that they covet, I'm sure. And maybe there's another one somewhere too. But the I-8 then becomes just, again, a little bit vulnerable for such a thing. And maybe they just stick and they stay with 7 and they find an 8th. I don't think it's going to be Olivet. I would love to be part of the I-8. I just think Olivet, and we've had some conversations with them about it. Our enrollment just is dropping and we would be, you know, we'd be 200-300 kids less than most of the schools in that league. It's just too big of a gap. But that's another ripple effect. If when Lumen Christi leaves, what does that mean for the I-8? What does that mean for the SEC? Because are they going to start? Or maybe the I-8 poaches somebody from the, you know, like Jackson High. I don't know. Like, why isn't Jackson High in the I-8 anyway? I've always wondered that, but, so there's a lot going on, but the conference realignment has been kind of a hot topic for sure this year.
It's funny. It's an interesting thing you just said, because I've heard a lot of people talk about the possibility of a Western Northwest move to the SEC for years now, but I've never heard the other way around where Jackson goes to the I-8, but boy, that makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, it seems like pretty easy. I mean, they're right down the road from Northwest and Western and natural rivals. And I feel like they should be playing anyways. But, you know, the other school that you talked about, you know, your league being done and, you know, you guys possibly looking, you know, some different things if that happens with Maple Valley. But, like, the school to me that really is kind of off the beaten path that is going to have a hard time finding a league is Stockbridge. Like where do they go in all this?
I feel for Stockbridge and Ernie Rivers, the new AD there. We've talked multiple times about this and they're at a loss, but we're not much different than them. And Lakewood's not much different. Our size is kind of odd. Stockbridge is not a good fit for the SEC. They would love to be in the Cascades, but they've basically not been invited to that party. The CAAC did not work for them when they were there previously, and it would not be a good fit for them now, even the smallest division in the CAAC. I don't think it's the smallest division in the CAAC right now is a great fit for Olivet, but it might be our best option at some point. But there's no guarantee that they would even take us. But, you know, that's where the idea of going independent, I would not be surprised if a school like Stockbridge and even some others take a few years where they're independent. And that's just it's not good. It's tough to schedule. And it's just not, you know, kids, there's no all league. There's, you know, honors. You're not playing for a championship. You really got to get creative with your schedule. You have kind of an identity crisis and it's not a long-term solution for sure. So, and that's why, you know, the GLAC, we're doing what we can to keep it together and even looking for some merger possibilities with leagues that are like parallel to us, but there aren't many. And that's the problem, but you're right. Stockbridge is a real question mark because of their location. So,
I feel like they'd be a good fit in the Cascades. I know they were turned down, but I feel like they would be a good fit.
Yeah, I don't know why they've never, you know, I don't know what it is. Like, I'm sure there's, you know, behind closed doors when those ADs talk, there's a reason why, you know, they went elsewhere with, you know, Homer or, you know, Jonesville instead of Stockbridge, because the Stockbridge Leslie thing, you know, they're big rivals. So that was kind of a natural bring them both, but it didn't work out that way. So we shall see. Well, hey, that's those are our two main topics. That was fun. It was fun getting the rust off a little bit and talking. You know, we do want to chat briefly, like the future plans for the podcast. This is our goal between now, which is early August, and kind of the start of the season. We want to go back to kind of a little bit of an interview format And we're going to try to, like some of these coaches that we talked about today, we're going to try to get them on and pick their brains a little bit about their journeys and poke some fun at some of them that we, that we know a little better, you know, that aren't because they're sensitive. You know, I hate to use that word sensitive. I got in trouble using the word sensitive, you know, earlier this year. So I got to be careful with that, but none of these guys are sensitive. And if you come on the podcast, you got to be, you got to be able to take a hit. So, but that's going to be our goal. We're going to try to drop podcasts on every Wednesday from here until kind of, you know, we get too busy again with our season. Josh says he's not going to be that busy this year because he's just a mentor or just an assistant. And again, I call you know what on that. He's going to be just as busy as the rest of us, but that's the goal. I did get I wished a podcast listener, TC Cameron, a former good official in the state of Michigan. I wished him a happy birthday today. And one of the things he said, when's the podcast coming back? And he says, when you bring it, I told him it's coming back. And he said, we have got to do football picks again. He goes, that's one of the best things that we do. And we haven't done that. We didn't do it last year. So we might have to get back to the football
pick. Oh, I'm ready. It's time to come back.
That was fun. So we'll figure out a way maybe to get our football picks back in when we get into the fall, whether it's high school or college. So
you mentioned TC. I do want to say to any of the listeners out there, you know, I don't think neither Matt or I have met very many officials either of us have ever liked. But that being said, the shortage is real. Like we are in desperate need of high school basketball officials. And I think with all these new young coaches they're much kinder and nicer and then all of us old guys, I think this would be a great time for us to get some more officials in the game. And if you're listening and you know a young person that loves basketball and wants to make some money, we desperately need some officials.
There we go. They got to hire you at the MHSA, Josh. There you go. Look at that.
Can we do something with the Jackson County officials though? Because there's something we can do about that particular group.
Sorry. Here we go.
Forget I brought that up.
Derek and I do not agree with anything this man says.
Yeah, hopefully they don't take their problems with me out on Derek. That would be unjust. But man, I don't think we'll ever play. My career is coming to an end shortly anyway. I'm not playing another game in Jackson County. They got to come to us, baby. So hopefully the MHSA is sending us to Lansing this year. Go figure. Hopefully they never send us to Jackson County for a district. And I don't think I could go to that. But anyway, that's enough about officials. And Josh is right. We definitely have a shortage and we need to be nicer to them. So it was fun talking again. We look forward to next time. And that will be, again, a week from today. We'll have an interview for you and we'll go from there.